to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
The Bible reading tonight comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and it's titled The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Thanks, Annie, for reading that. Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to see you and be with you, and a huge big welcome to you if you're visiting as well from me. Thanks, Margie, for leading us so well. Well, guys and girls, we are in the middle of a series, and if you've been at GBC for a little while, the series that you'll have been hearing is about finding your place in the mission of God. And we started this series a few weeks ago, and we looked at how we find our place in the mission of God at work, in how we spend our days, and we looked at how we can be similar to God in the way we relate to one another and the actions that we do, that it doesn't just mean telling people about Jesus at the coffee break, but it's a little bit more expansive than that. We looked at how you find your place in God's mission and globally, and what God is doing in the world through Baptist World Aid and locally, and we've also looked at your mission and the church's mission kind of being one and the same. And today, the topic is finding a place in the mission of God through the power of God. And so as I was starting to think about power, I was thinking about all the ways we relate to what power is. What's power mean? And the different types of power there are in our world. Sometimes we can think about power as being like a sense of authority, like telling people what to do. If someone's super powerful, they might be able to speak into people's lives and direct them. Or we might think about the power that you display at the gym through strength and might and, having like Powerade and physical power. We sometimes can think about willpower, like that internalized power that we've got. We've just got to make it through. We've got to persevere. We've got to overcome and we've got to dig deep. A bit kind of like, on the show Survivor, that kind of willpower. And we can also think about something like the powers and structures that exist in our world, like political power or legal frameworks, the powers that make our world run the way we want it to run or the way some people want it to run. So there's lots of different types of power, but I actually want to take this time now to think about power like fuel. Fuel. I mean, we know what fuel is, and we know how it works. There's a couple of different types of fuel that we're familiar with. One of them is actually food, the fuel that we put into our body. And we know, don't we, that if we're going to fuel our body up, we're going to feed it really good food, we're going to eat healthy stuff, and that's going to really help our heart keep pumping and our lungs getting air in and out, and it's going to convert it to oxygen, and we're able to go, and it motivates us to run or to just breathe or to live. And we know also about our cars, the type of fuel we put into our vehicles, whether it's unleaded or diesel, or you've got a fancy car, you have to plug it into the PowerPoint. But we know that cars need fuel in order to go. And when I was thinking about power and fuel, I was thinking, oh my gosh, there's a few times where I've seen on Facebook in those local area Facebook groups like Southern Shire Facebook groups where people have had an experience where they've put the wrong fuel into the car, and it's usually some parent giving a bit of an SOS out that their P-plater has driven the diesel truck into the servo and like filled it up with like the wrong kind of fuel. They've like put unleaded in the diesel truck and they put the SOS out to Facebook land, like, help, we've put the wrong fuel in the car. And the Brains Trust of the Shire, or, you know, they get in there and they're like, don't drive it, whatever you do, do not move the car. Ring this guy, ring Rescue Remedy, ring whatever, ring this person. And they come along and they have to kind of get the wrong fuel out and then put the right fuel in and, I don't know, do activated charcoal or I don't know what they do over it, pray over it, something happens. And the car can go again and it's great. And I was thinking about the power and fuel and how sometimes I'm fueled to find my place in God's mission and about the things that fuel me to serve God in mission. And I've got to tell you, there's been times when I've used the wrong fuel, that I've put the wrong kind of fuel into me, and that's motivated me in a negative way. So an example is if I want to find my place in the mission of God and I want to do what God calls me to do, the wrong fuel or power for me might be doing that out of a sense of pride. That I want to find my place in the mission of God, and it's all about me being prideful, that I can do a good job, that I can stand and go, yeah, I did that well. It's not a great fuel. Or my fuel might be that I want to have self-glory, and then I want people to think well of me. You know, like if I just do this thing in the mission of God, if I, you know, serve a particular way or pray a particular way or preach a particular way or just be a really lovely person, then people will think well of me, and that's my motivation. Yeah, that's not a good fuel either, not a healthy fuel. Or sometimes my fuel might be obligation. I might be doing something because I feel like I have to, that I'm obligated, I should do it. It's not a great fuel. And so I was thinking about, what is the good fuel? What's the good fuel, the good power source that's going to help me find my place and our place in the mission of God? So I think I've got something for us that I think is pretty helpful. And when we think about the mission of God, as a church community, we've got a bit of a verse that's become a bit of a motto for us or a life verse for us as a community of faith. And it comes from John's Gospel in John 20:21. And if you've been at this community for a bit of time, you'll pretty much know this verse. And as you leave the building tonight to go and watch the grand final at the end of church, you'll actually see the verse written above the door. And apologies to if you're visiting, because you probably don't know this verse, but I'm going to see how well our local friends know the verse, and it's going to come up on the screen behind me, I hope. And there it is. Okay, this is a bit of bingo, church bingo, okay? And I want us to say it together to see if you know the verse I'm talking about mission. Let's do a little test. Let's do it together. It says, Jesus said, as the Father... me, so I am. Are they right, Julie? Let's see. Yes, they're right. So apologies to those who are visiting. Yes, give yourselves a little pat on the back. Well done. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you, which is just a great verse. We have it on the door to remind us that we collectively together are on a mission, that we are God's people in this earth. We are his hands, his feet. We are the voice of Jesus, the face of Jesus to the world around us. And we love this scripture. And I love it particularly because this is something that Jesus did in John's Gospel after the resurrection. The disciples are in this locked room. They're freaking out. They don't know what's going on. And Jesus kind of comes in through the locked door and stands among them and says, peace, peace be with you. And he says this. He says, as the Father sent me, Jesus, he says to the disciples, are sending you. And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And I absolutely love that whole, like Jesus breathing on them, because it actually reminds me of the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, when God makes Adam, the first person, from the ground. And so in Hebrew it's Adam and Adama, the Adam from the Adama, which is the Hebrew for ground and man, it sounds the same. And he forms this first human, and what does he do? He breathes life into the first human. So that first human is now alive and on mission and fulfilling God's plan for the world to fill the earth and subdue it. And this little moment in that locked room when Jesus takes the disciples and he breathes the life into them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And now they have a mission to go about, to be Jesus in the world itself. Amazing. We love it. And we've preached on this a whole bit. And we know that this is our mission. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. We're on mission. And that Holy Spirit is the enabling presence that allows us to do what Jesus has called us to do. And if you missed any of that, we actually did a sermon series at the beginning of the year called The Enabling Presence of the Holy Spirit, where we looked at how the Spirit helps us. So we love this sent language. We're all into it. We want mission. We want the Holy Spirit to be with us. All good there. But I was thinking, is that what fuels me? I know that the Holy Spirit is enabling me and is with me and in me. But is that the fuel? Is that the power source? Not sure. And so as I was reading John's Gospel, I came across a really similar verse to this. It's a similar sentence structure. And when I read it, it blew my mind. The sentence structure that we all know is, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And when I read John 15:9, the verse jumped out at me. And it said this, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. So I have loved you. And I was just, my mind was blown because I know I'm a sent person, but in this verse I read that I am a loved person. I am a loved person. And the sense of the Father sending Jesus and loving Jesus and loving the world is all the way through John's Gospel. John's Gospel is the fourth Gospel, and that sense of loving and sending is like a thread that goes all the way through the whole book. And in fact, one of the most well-known verses that even people outside the church might know is in John's Gospel, and it's John 3:17 and John 3:16, which you might have heard of. So in John 3:17, it says that God sent his Son. He said, it says here, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The sense of sending, not for condemnation, but for saving. And then in John 3:16, that really well-known verse that guy at the Olympics holds up his sign that it says John 3:16 on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life and life everlasting or life eternal. This sense of love and sent pervades the story of John's Gospel. And I want to suggest to you that we are both sent people and we are loved people. There's a kind of a famous scholar called Kostenberger, which is, I love this name, great name, Kostenberger. It makes it sound like a really expensive hamburger. Oh, that's a really Kostenberger. Anyway, so he's a John scholar. And he says that what we see in John is God's ethic or orientation towards the world can be summed up by saying the power of love. The power of love. He said that's how to sum up the way that God sees the world and how he operates. The power of love. And we, according to John 15:9, are loved. As the Father loved Jesus, we are loved. And I want us to just hold there for a second and to kind of think through that. As the Father loved Jesus, what sort of love that is? Because at that point, we're actually talking about the Trinity. We're talking about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that triune God, the relationship between God and the Father, God who is indivisible, can't be torn apart, God who is eternal, no beginning and no end, God who is, it cannot be changed, he will not change. And that same love that operates in the Trinity, the intimacy between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the very nature of God, and we know from 1 John that that's God's essence. God is love. That's what God is. God is love. That same love that God has for Jesus, Jesus is saying, that's the same love that I've got for you. That incredible, deep love. And part of me doesn't even know what to do with that. Like, I can't even fathom it. And I think for when I think about love and when I think about love, I kind of see the love that exists in the world, right? You can see the love that people have for their friends and for one another, and that's great love. Or we can see the love that a parent has for their child or a spouse or a relationship. We can see a whole bunch of different loves. And when we look at those relationships in the world, we're kind of catching a glimpse. It's a little bit. It's a slice of the love that God has for us. We're image bearers. We're made in the image of God. So God created us to bear his image and to be like God. And so when we love one another well, it's a little glimpse of the God who is love. And we see it, but we see it in a really broken and fractured way. It's an imperfect way. But when we see that beautiful, good love relationships that exist in the world, it's just a glimpse of the love that God has for us. Paul, the apostle, is writing to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. And the church in Ephesus in modern-day Turkey now, were really struggling. They had all these different problems and factions and fights, and they were trying to make a difference and an impact as the gospel could get out. And he actually has this prayer for them that they might understand God's love, because it would put everything else into perspective, right? And he prays that they might be able to grasp God's love and to know what cannot be known, to know the unknowable. And this is what he prays about God's love in Ephesians 3. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he might strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted, like as in grounded, and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. To know the unknowable, to catch a glimpse of God's love. Incredible. And that's the love that God has for you. That's the love that God has for you. Trinitarian love. And he goes on in this passage that was read for us. Jesus goes on and he talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches. And in this verse he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. That word remain, sometimes in a bunch of different Bibles, especially the older ones, it's abide in my love. I don't know if you've ever heard this old beautiful hymn, it's abide with me. And to abide means to make your home that, to stay there. And remain is kind of similar, but abide just works for me better, our friends, I think it does. Anyway, so to abide and remain means to make that your home, make that your home base, the place where you stay, the place where you dwell, the place where you live. And it's in that love that we can't even fathom that we're meant to make our home base, to abide. John's gospel is hilarious because the author uses this word remain or abide, the Greek is meno. He uses it like 40 times in the gospel. And this little passage that was read out for us early, it's like 10 times in that little passage, okay? So it's a big deal, friends. He's like, abide, remain, stay, make it your home base. Don't go apart from it. So abide and remain kind of mean make it your home, make it the place where you live, you dwell. But also, when you think of abide, there's a sense of obedience in that too. So if you have some rules at school or at home or wherever your workplace is, and you have to abide by rules or abide by regulation or abide by the law, it means to kind of allow that to have authority over you and power over you, that you have to obey those rules, right? You have to abide by the law. And that's also this sense to stay, to remain, to abide with Jesus, that it's home and it's obedience. It's the place where we live and dwell and know him, and it's also allowing him to be the one who calls the shots in our life. And the image that Jesus gives in this passage of the vine and the branches is such an incredibly beautiful picture of connectedness. You know, if you've ever walked through a vineyard and seeing the beautiful vines going into the soil, and they're growing and they're flourishing and they're going along the trellis, and there's leaves and buds of fruit hanging down. And you know from this picture, and you know from seeing this, that if the branch becomes disconnected from the vine, from the bit that goes into the ground where all the nutrients come from, it's not going to last long. It's going to just get dry and fall apart, and it cannot bear any fruit. And Jesus says, that's a bit like me, talking about what fuels us, the power of God, the power of love. If we become disconnected from Jesus, our source of fuel, and in this case, with the image of the vine, our nutrients, we can't bear any fruit. There's nothing that we can do. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing. We've got to remain, abide, stay connected to Jesus in this. So, what does that look like? Well, it looks like lots of different things. To stay connected, to abide, to remain, to obey with Jesus. It might look like putting him first. It might look like more prayer. It might look like getting up in the morning and setting it on Facebook, getting to the Word. It might look like just being aware of God's presence with you in your daily life. It might mean stepping out in faith, listening to him, abiding and obeying mean different things to different people, and it's my prayer for you this week that you'll explore what that is to be abiding and remaining in him. So, two scriptures. We're both sent people and we're loved people. As the Father sent me, so I've sent you. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. But there's two kind of dangers that I see with these scriptures. And if I can use a continuum of danger, so like a spectrum or a continuum of danger, you can imagine that. Over on one side, if we just say down this side, if we just say, this is what I need, Jesus, this sense of as the Father loved me, so I have loved you, and if we just camp out down there, there can be a little bit of danger. Because we can do that as believers, as Christians, people who love the Lord. We can be like, yes, Jesus, thank you for loving me with an eternal love. I'll never understand. I'll never fathom it. It's just incredible. It's changed my life, Jesus. And just receive that in Jesus' name, and we can stay there. And the danger there is that we can become maybe kind of gluttonous, maybe a little bit spiritually gluttonous. We just receive. And just take stuff in and lethargic and not doing anything with it. And there is, in this world, a body of water, which is a great analogy for this. There's a body of water that exists, and it is like that. It's just a body of water, and all it does is receive. It receives rainfall, it receives rivers, it's got inlets galore, like inlet. And you think, oh, it must be the most incredibly flourishing place on earth. You know, just everything flowing into it. But that's not true. Everything flows into it. And you know what it's called? The Dead Sea. That's what it's called. The Dead Sea. And the reason it's the Dead Sea is because it doesn't have an outlet. All the nutrients, all the sediment, all the saline, all the salt, everything is just pouring in, and gradually it's get filled with muck. And because it doesn't have an outlet, nothing flows through it. And so there's no life in it. It's dead. There's no life because all it does is receive. And the danger for us as believers is if we just take this one scripture, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, remain in my love, and we just soak it all in and don't do anything with it, we can become like that, and we don't want to do that. The other end of the spectrum, as the Father sent me, I am sent you. There's a danger there too. If we just be the people who are sent, we're like, yes, Jesus, as the Father sent you, I'm going to be sent too. I'm going to get out there, I'm going to tell people about Jesus, I'm going to love people like this, I'm going to sacrifice Jesus, I'm going to want to change the world, want to help people know how amazing you are. The danger there is that we can run on empty. that we can run out of fuel, or that or our fuel is wrong, like me with my motives, and we become disconnected to the vine, disconnected to our fuel source, which is the love of God, the power of God. And we can do this on our own strength. And remember, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do something? Nothing. It's ineffective when we try and do it in our own strength. So there's a couple of dangers there. We need to keep those in tension, because just like Jesus is loved and sent, we are loved and sent. And we need to hold both of those things to be fueled for mission by the power of God, the love of God, and not fall into either one of those areas. So church, I want to encourage you today that you are a sent and you're loved. You're loved and you're sent, just like Jesus is. So as we find our place in the mission of God, my challenge for you is to stay connected to that vine. Be fueled by Jesus. Be fueled by the love of God. Take that moment to just realize that love that surpasses all understanding. That's the love that Jesus has for you. That's the love he has for you. And let that love fuel you, overflow in your heart, and not just stay there, but let that drive you towards mission in the name of Jesus, towards doing what God wants you to do, towards love and good deeds. So what I want us to do as we close out our time together tonight, I'm going to ask for some slides to be put up, and they've got a little gap there. And if you're comfortable with this, as we read this together, I want you to put your name in the blank space, just to declare it over yourself, over your life, just to realise that this is you. This is not just for random out there people, this is for you. And so what we're going to do is there'll be two slides. First one is Jesus says, as the Father loves me, so I love. And I want you to read it aloud with me and put your name in it. Put your name in the blank space. And the second slide is the same, except as the Father sent me, so I sent. And your name goes in there. So would you do that with me as we finish? In an attitude of prayer, and then immediately after that, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray for us using the words of Ephesians 3, the same prayer that Paul had for the church in Ephesus. I want to pray for us before Margie comes up and closes our service. So let's do that together. We don't often read aloud together, but I think we're up for it. So, so let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus says, as the Father loves me, so I love. Again, the next slide. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send. Let me pray for us. Oh, loving God, I want to thank you so much that, Jesus, you were sent into this world, not to condemn the world, but, Lord, to save the world. And God, I want to thank you that you sent Jesus because of your love for this world. Oh, Lord, and I pray for all of us here tonight that we might just begin to grasp the love that you have for us and let that fuel us and fill us towards mission. And, Lord, like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray that we might be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our innermost being, and that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray for every person here tonight, Lord God, and listening on the podcast later, that them being grounded, rooted, and established in love, that they might have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that we all might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we ask this for your name. Amen.
We hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are The Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.